Okay, we're holding on Mem Vav Amud Aleph. So the last thing we said was that we were going to take 16 by 16 amos out of each corner and try to remove that from the total square of the 64 by 48. And so we ended up with a 2,048 square amos, which was of course less than 2,500. So that was equal 452, okay? So that's what we left off. Then we're going to say Avodoso b'shmona amos. Now, let's extend the vineyard 8 amos, meaning you're going to go 4 amos outside the east side, 4 amos out the west side, and so on all around. So you'll end up with 8 amos total more in the circumference. So what will that help? So mat avad. So the Gemara is trying to figure out how to make things better. Let's see. Does he say in the bottom how big it is? It doesn't matter. Well, we'll work it out. Mat avad la. So how are you going to reckon the area of the vineyard? Huva avad dosay l'tof beiso. If you mean you're going to include those 8 amas, so that it'll be inside, or chutz l'avodaso, or does it mean without the 4 amos? So the Gemara is going to do the two stardom. In tavi nehu v'avodaso mutopei, so if you're going to reckon the area with both vineyard and this 8 amos, so then, v'avam beis, ashka chosar, it'll come out that it will be, the chosar here is referring to the vineyard of the beis sof, 2,500. Will be less, Chamesh Mavon Usmanya, 508. In the bottom, he has the calculation. It's very simple. Previously, we said 64 by 48 vineyard becomes enlarged to 72 by 56, right? You're adding 8. 8 plus 64 is 72. 8 plus 48 is 56. And now you have a 72 by 56 square. That's 4,032 square amas. The corners are not included, so you're going to subtract 1,024 square amos from that. 4,032 minus 1,024 is equal 3,008. The vineyard together with the work area less the corners is therefore 3,008 square amos, which is 508 amos greater than 2,500. So that's what the Gemara here is saying. Chamesh Mavon Usmanya, 500. And 8.
So we end up diluting the density of how many vines there are in an area.
We're trying to figure out. We were given the total number of vines. We were told it was 10. So we're trying to make this work, and we're not going to succeed, by the way. So this is all. We're just making the cheshbonos over here. The in tabdine chutzlav idasai. I mean, I would have said this in one line. I wouldn't have spent 4 pages explaining this. Yerushalmi, for some reason, feels it's necessary to go through all this. I don't understand why. I guess it's trying to show you from every which angle you go, you can't make it work. All right. The in tabdine chutzlav idasai. And if you're going to exclude that area, so obviously then, the Gemara is now really repeating something we've already said. Then the Mishnah's base saw measures exceeds the actual measure of the vineyard by 452 amas. So how does that work? Because the vineyard proper without the four corners is only 2,048, which is 452 square amas less than 2,500. Okay? So we did that calculation already. I'm not going to go over it again, but that's it bekitzer. That in other words, if you don't have the 8 that we added on, and you take out the corners, you will end up with 2,048, which is less than 2,500 by an amount of 452. That's what the Yerushalmi means over here. So now the Gemara tries 2 more attempts. Oba muflogos, and if you can't say that we're talking about where you planted the vines further apart than 16 amos. Now on the bottom, he says that if you, in number 5, he says that you actually, it works out to exactly 2,500 if it's 17.68, by 17.68, that's equal to 3,750.9 amas. And if you deduct the four corners of 1250, then you end up with 2,500 exactly, almost exactly 2,500. So the Gemara is going to say, Pasha, that for sure can't work. Ki echido saying, if you're more than 16 amas apart, then they're not mistarif. That's the maximum distance they can be, is 16 amas apart. So if they're greater than that, then they're like yechidos. In tamer beraitzif, and if you're going to say it included the work area in the calculation, but he input the vines more closely together so that they are less than 16 amas apart. But then it says it's only 10 vines to a beisaw, and if they're not being spread out in that fashion, if they're that close together, then you could have more than 10. Why did the Mishnah say that there's only 10? In the English at the top, if the vines dealt with in the Mishnah are not spread out to the maximum, then when they are spaced maximally, if you would have such a case, then they can combine over an area larger than a base saw. So why did the Mishnah stipulate the 10 vines to confine to a single base saw? What's with the base saw? It's like, why was it so mocking a base saw? That's the question. Anyway, so now we're on Daf Mem Zayin. We're going to go to the Mishnah tonight.
Wasn't that because it was the standard
field? That was the standard field, yeah. Havei Tanya, so therefore you cannot learn the Mishnah as referring to a vineyard that was planted and then destroyed in the manner delineated by Reb Zera. That's the Gemara's Maskana. Reb Zera, therefore, if you read the Gemara here, it sounds like Reb Zera is off the table. Right? That's what it sounds like. Now, in the footnote, in 1, he discusses this at length. We have to read this. Now, second paragraph. When the Yerushalmi appears to have rejected Reb Zera's approach, while it appears to have rejected his approach, the Rash and the Rush follow his approach in explaining the Mishnah. They understand that inasmuch as Yerushalmi does not offer any alternative approach to the Mishnah, in other words, Yerushalmi doesn't give anything better, so it does not mean to reject it, but merely means to point out the difficulties therein. As I've always told people, you have to learn how to live with difficulties. Right. Some suggest that the Gemara does not refute Reb Zera's basic delineation of the destroyed vineyard, but only retracts its assumption that the vines cannot be separated by more than 16 amma intervals. Meaning, we just said that if it was more than 16 amas, they're like yechidos. The Yerushalmi and the Maskana is saying, no, this is going to be an exception, that because you have 10 vines in an area such as a beisaw, having 10 vines in that configuration is enough to be considered that this has a look, this has an oishkik as a kerem, and therefore it is a kerem. That's a very interesting approach here. The Gemara had previously negated the possibility. The Gemara now concedes that since it's impossible to explain the Mishnah with closely planted vines, the vines remaining in the must have been distanced more than 16 amas. Okay, we must therefore conclude, although vines spaced normally at this distance do not combine, but when 10 vines are contained within an area of a single base saw, they do combine, despite the slightly excessive distance between each of them. So that's a certain approach here. So according to that approach, that's the fundamental difference between the two types of vineyards. So we had a destroyed vineyard. They are spaced more than 16 amas apart, and they require, based on what we've been saying, that all 10 vines are in a configuration of a vineyard, the two-tail configuration, but the one that's chaotic, the one that's just planted haphazardly, they require only one vineyard configuration to be proper, but once you have that one, then the whole area becomes like a vineyard. So that's a really fundamental difference to keep in mind, right? So Karam Shacharav, we're saying now, based on Reb Zera's approach, all 10 vines have to be in a configuration of 2-2 and a tail. 2-2 and a tail, 2-2 and a tail, all around. But when it comes to the haphazard one, all of them could be haphazard, but we have one set that isn't in the configuration of 2-2 and a tail, the whole thing becomes like a cap. Okay. That's what it says in footnote 1. Very important footnote. Now, going a little further, Kerem Shu Notur Berbuvya, HaKores Mukhuvon. So now, here we're talking about the chaotic plants. So how chaotic are they? Are they really crazy chaotic? Or are they just a little bit off? So it says, Yisham is going to talk about this. So if the trunks are aligned, HaKores Mukhuvon, if the trunks are aligned with each other, V'hanof Enu Mukhuvon, but the spread, I guess, the branches, they're not aligned. Hare's a kerem, it's a kerem any, because the main thing is, remember, your roots are the ikar. The ikar is where you came from, Dov. Understand that? That's the trunk. That's what's the main thing. It's where you came from. Doesn't matter how you've spread out and gone a little bit away from the way the trunk was. Well, the trunk is the ikar, okay? That's the first thing. No junk in the trunk, is that what you said? Beautiful. What does it say? What if it's Hanof Mukhuvan? The branches are aligned. Fahakores Eno Mukhuvan, but the trunks are not aligned. Eno Karim, that is not a vineyard. Hayudakos, now if they were initially thin, and therefore, because of their thinness, Eno Mukhuvanos, they weren't aligned. So because they're so thin, so it's a lot harder to make them aligned. But as they grew a little older and they got thicker in the trunk, then as they got thicker in the trunk, they became aligned. That's good. Hareza Karim.
Sorry.
What?
The
junk in the trunk.
In YouTube videos, you can see how they take a trunk and they have like strings down the.
Hold on. Don't give away the Gemara with the strings. Okay, we're going to talk about strings in just a second. Oh, yeah, you're giving away the string trick. It's the rope trick. Okay, we're going to do that in a second. I know. I didn't mean to jump on you. Okay. Ketzer hu yodeh mukhuvan. Ketzer hu yodeh mukhuvan. How do you know if they're aligned? Here's a trick. Maybe chut u'moseach. You bring a string and you stretch it alongside the vines. So, we're going to have a picture on the next page. Is tonei tonei mibifnim. One brisa teaches that you do the string on the inside of the vines. The is tonei tonei mibachutz. Another one learns that we do the string on the outside of the vines. And then we have a nice picture on the next page. You'll see in the picture on the left, you have the left picture. You see how it says inside and outside? So the first one is the strings on the inside. The inside is towards the west side of the box. And the second picture is on the outside. That's the east side of the vines.
So what does the string say?
So the string is going to tell you. Okay, so it's still not 100% clear. There's one more piece of information we're going to say now. Amar Rabbi Yonah, Manda Amar Mibifnim, the one who says that you put the string on the inside of the vine. So, Betoch Tefach, as long as you measure a Tefach from the string, right, to the next vine. Okay, let's see this again. As long as the protruding vines are within a tefach of the string.
So in that left-hand picture.
So you measure. In other words, right. So in the left-hand picture, those three vines that are on the right side of the string that are out. So in that space, is that a tefach? Right? You're measuring a tefach from the string to that right vine. So if it's less than a tefach, even though it's not muhuvan, you know, exactly with the vines that it's in between, but it's good enough, okay? That's if you hold, you make the string on the inside. And if you hold, you make the vine on, then make the string on the outside, mandarim bachutz, so actually gabahem. Then the string has to touch the protruding vines in order for them to be deemed aligned. So, number 11. This is a little difficult to understand.
And these are fully mature trees, not the thin stuff.
You're right. This is a fully grown thing. So now, let's see 11. The string stretched alongside the outside edge of the inward vines must also touch the inner edges of the outward vines, okay? According to this reading, the Braisa does not establish a fixed measure of latitude per row. Rather, if they're positioned such that they all touch the same string, then at least part of their inner vine is aligned with part of the other inner vines. So they belong in the same row. So it seems that seems to be more of an exact measure. The Tefach measure sounds like it's a little, you could be really quite a bit off, but, a Tefach is not that big. But as long as it's that close, it's considered aligned. So if the string is over here, here's a Tefach, right? And then you have another one here. So even though you have one here, they're considered aligned because the string, you measured the Tefach. But the other sheet, the string has to touch both of them. So they're really close, really close. Now, he suggests that it's possible that the two versions are in fact not arguing, but, okay, that's something he suggests over here. Now, one thing which is Nageh Hilchos Sukkah, which I thought was interesting, in the final paragraph he says over here, interestingly, you see where it says interestingly in the end of the line? Kehilas Yaakov compares our case to the laws of the Hadas taken on Sukkot, right? So Hadassim, you know, have to be Mishulashim, right? How do you determine whether something is Mishulash? So everybody knows you look for a Hadas with the stem of the leaves all on the same plane, right? That's what we always look for. But if they're not on the same plane, then it's not Mishulash, right? That's what we always say. And the Chazonish Hadassim are, you know, they're like perfect and everything.
Well, you just look at the plastic.
You look at the plastic. If it says Mishulash, you're done.
Right.
That's another way to do it. But there are those of us who actually...
You actually go and pick it up?
They used to. I mean, until last
back
year.
In the day,
until last year. So, but now, I just want to show you. I think this is very important. Because now, according to our Gemara, if something is in line with the string, it's considered a line. So it doesn't have to be perfect. That's what he's saying. It's very interesting. He says, interestingly, you see what he's saying? Kehilas Yaakov compares our case to the Hadas. The Gemara states the three leaves on each level have to be aligned. There, too, the law is based on the ruling of Chazon Ish, that the three leaves are considered aligned if the three points from which the leaves emerge from the branch overlap, even partially. That's considered Mishulash.
That's the nexus of that
overlap. But not Mahudar.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to say Mahudar. No. I'm just telling you, you know, if you want to look at this footnote and decide, are you going to spend $18 on a Chumrah, or are you going to look at footnote 11 and save, you know, $18 on footnote 11. Anyway, it gives you more, it'll put me at ease. I don't have to worry so much. It's good enough. Okay? All right. If the outer row is not aligned with the trunks of the vineyard's other rows, so that is to say, like, look at the top box, top right box. So you have 1, 2 are perfectly aligned, right? And then line 3, you have 4 vines which are in between all the vines above it, right?
Yeah.
That's the case. So what's the din? They're not mistarif, right? Because they're not aligned. That's what we just said. If it's not aligned, it's not mistarif. So nois and lavidasa. You give the unaligned area the work of the 6 tefachim, v'zoreas ha-meiser, then you can plant the rest of it. Now in the English it says, although it is still within 4 amis of the outer row. So what? I mean, I was a little put off by this. I wasn't sure exactly. In other words, the outer row means row 2, right? When he says the outer row, doesn't he mean row 2?
Facing the next property, whatever that property is.
No, in box, in the top right box, you have 1, 2, and 3, right? So we're saying row 3, you're going to give it avodasa, which is 6 tefachim. And then you can plant outside of the 6 tefachim, even though it's within dalet amos of the outer row. The outer row meaning row 2, correct? Guys, I need to hear whether you agree with me or not. No one's agreeing. No one's saying anything. Am I clear here? What's going on here? So, in other words, so in contrast, look at 14. In contrast to the aligned rows that are legal vineyard and require 4 amos, the outer row is deemed a separate entity, is given 6 tefach work area of a single row, rather than the 4 amos. Right?
It's not deemed disconnected.
Because it's not part of a vineyard. So the English... Let's go back to the English at the top, where it says, right, Zareas HaMosar, he can plant the remainder, the area beyond the 6 tefachim, although it is still within 4 amos of the outer row. What does the outer row mean?
Row 1?
That's the top row. I'm thinking what he means outer row is row 2, and you measure 6 tefachim away from row 3, going towards row 2, and he's allowing you to plant there
between
2 and 3, even though you're within dalet amos of 2, but as long as you're outside of the 6 tefachim of 3, you're allowed to plant there.
Right.
Why?
Aren't you bumping into row 2?
Why aren't we worried about the dalet amos of row 2? I just couldn't understand where he got that from. I don't know. I mean, I understand to say going away from row 3, which is not within dalet amos of row 2 at all, because you're dalet amos plus 6 tefachim, and that's certainly mutter, right? So I'm not sure where this English at the top is coming from. But let's keep going. Amar b'yaisi shemha yuzroim b'toch shisha. It comes out that there was a row of plants within the 6 tefach work area of the outer row, which is also within the 4 amma work area of the aligned rows. That's what we were just talking about, right? You're in between 2 and 3, and you're within the 6 tefach work area. I'm not talking about where you were marchik. Let's suppose you were not marchik, right? So you were marchik only 3 tefachim from row 3. On the inside, between 2 and 3. So you're within dalet amos, and you're within 6 tefachim. So what's going to become usher? Hakol usher. Everything will become usher. Row 2 will become usher because you're within dalet amos. Row 3 will become usher because you're within 6 tefachim. Makes perfect sense, right? But what if it's chutz l'shisha? If, on the other hand, you were outside the 6 tefach area of the outer row, but within the 4 amos of the second row, right? Then hagafonim mutaros, the vines of the outer row, meaning the row that's not aligned, that'll be permitted, the gafonim are mutar, because those, you are outside the 6 tefachim. So why should they become usher, right? V'hakerem usher, but the vineyard is forbidden.
Inside the 6.
Inside the 4. Inside the 4. That was when 1 and 2... So rows 1 and 2 become completely awesome.
What's the distance between 2 and 3?
What?
What's the distance between 2 and 3?
4 amas.
That's 4 amas?
Each row is each row is 4 amas apart.
So why wouldn't it be a carom?
It 1 and 2 are a carom, but row 3 is not aligned, and therefore it's not mitzvah.
Didn't we say before?
We said before
on Megdalid, Yerubia?
We said... This is not a Ruvia. This is. Well, we're going to ask that question. The answer to the Ruvia question is, you're asking a good question. It's actually asked. The Chazon is going to ask that question. That's only true when you have multiple rows. Excellent question. They asked that question. I'll show you where that question is asked. Second. That is footnote 14. If you look at the third paragraph, Chazonish, the second paragraph, one may ask, the Mishnah rules, in a case of a chaotically planted vineyard, any five lines can be aligned. We consider even the unaligned vines to be part of the vineyard. So why in this case are they not part of the vineyard? That's your question.
Right, that's,
that's your question. That's very good. Very good. Very good question. Chazonish suggests the Mishnah's case is that there were at least two unaligned rows. That if they would have been planted in the right proper setup, they would have been properly aligned and would have been part of the vineyard. But so we extend the vineyard status to all of them. But here we're talking about a single row. So we don't extend vineyard status of the aligned rows to the single row. So he's being machalik between a single row and multiple rows. So that's what he gives as an answer.
You were saying it's between two and three. It looks like it's on the outer side of three.
Hold on.
See that picture on the bottom.
Hold on one second. I see what you're saying. Yeah. You're right, Dr. Cooper. You're right. I jumped the gun. I forgot to quote this picture over here. In the picture, what they did was, if you just read the Yerushalmi plain, it doesn't sound like it. But the Yerushalmi is actually talking about a case where row three was pushed closer to row two, and there was not dalet amas between the two rows. There was actually only one amma between the two rows. So what you have here is you have one amma between two and three. Then you have, and then you have another amma outside of three, which is the sixth tefachim that you have to use for the work area. And then you have another two ammas that he calls area B. That makes a total of four ammas. So the way he's learning the Gemara is like this: if you plant in area A, so you're planting within six tefachim of the ones that are misaligned. So you're planting within six tefachim of area B, of the row three, and therefore everything becomes osur. If you plant it outside of the six tefachim, within the four. So in other words, if you planted in area B, so then what happens is, what does it say? Then hagafonim mutaros, the vines of the outer row, which is of course row three, that's the outer row, outermost row, that is mutar, but the vines on the kerem is also. So it's a very interesting thing where you'll have something planted outside of three, where the iser skips over three, because since three is not part of the kerem, it only asr the sixth tefachim work area. And therefore, outside of the sixth tefachim will not affect those. But since it's within dalet amos of two, it will affect rows one and two, which is an interesting thing. So that's where it ends off there. And the last line, Ve'ezer Kerem Dal, why is it called a poor vineyard? I'm Rabbi Yonah, Dal Gefonim Ba'ashem Avaitis. It's poor in vines, but it's rich in work area, meaning you have a lot of area to work with your ox and your plow, because you can go in all the empty space, and therefore it's called Kerem Dal. Anyway,
Row 3 is not Usur, and the Kerem becomes Usur.
The Kerem becomes Usur.
That's unbelievable.
Is it unbelievable?
That's unbelievable.
But you want to know something else? I don't know why nobody points this out, but what about the thing that you actually planted? You planted, right? You planted something. What about that thing that you planted?
Well, I would imagine it's Usur.
So that's what I said. So it comes out, the thing that you planted is Osir. The next row that goes towards the Kerem is Mutter. And the next row behind that is Osir. So the
right.
You have Isser, Heter, and Isser. It's very interesting.
What creates that connectivity? Just that it's within a certain...
Good to know.
So many reasons.
Just don't have a carrot, and that's it. And you don't have to worry. Right?